Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. We also have a divine service on Wednesdays at 1:30. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if it'll ever get old watching some of you squirm, thinking I'm going to make you stand for the whole sermon. That's so fun. So I'm going to let you in on a little, probably not a secret, but something, I don't know if you've considered this or not. I'm sure that some of you have considered it, okay? But this is sort of the world that Pastor Lauer and I live in at least some of the times, not necessarily all the times. So I'm going to tell you a story of something that happened to me a few years ago. It was when we lived out in New York. I was serving as a vicar, okay? So I got a phone call from one of the congregations that the congregation that I was serving was helping out with. And they said, could you please send the vicar? We've had an emergency, and one of our members is in the hospital. And so the pastor who was in charge of me at the time said, vicar, get out of here. Go do it. And so I got, you know, the address of this hospital that I'd never been to before, and the room number in this hospital where this person was who I'd never met before. And I went, and I go and I find this hospital, and it's like, you know, going to a new place. There's terrible traffic, of course, on Long Island, and there's, parking is always strange and a challenge and all this sort of stuff. And so it's fighting through all of that kind of stuff. And then getting into the hospital and getting to the right floor and figuring out where the stairs are even is hard, you know. But eventually, I get to the place where this person is that I'm supposed to go see, and I discover that the room is in the ICU. Is in the intensive care unit, okay? So for those of you who don't know what that is, that's bad. It's a bad thing. And the ICU in many places is more open than the normal wings of the hospital. And in this particular case, it was like just an open floor, and the only thing separating the various beds of the people who are in the ICU are curtains that they could pull around or open up depending on if they needed to at any given time. And so I, just kind of a stupid vicar, walk through the ICU trying to find the bed that I'm supposed to go to, because I didn't recognize the people, I didn't know them. And I eventually find it. And what I saw was a woman lying in a bed in terrible shape, in just about the worst shape of anyone I've ever seen. Clearly wounded, very injured. She had fallen down, if I remember correctly, her apartment, and fallen down a couple of flights of stairs, and was in very dire state. She had all of the tubes and all of the machines and devices and computers hooked up to her. As any of you who have been in the ICU know, that's kind of how it looks. And she was sitting there looking terrible, unable to speak or respond or do anything, but at the foot of her bed was sitting there her husband and her son. And so my job, again, just to be clear, is to walk up to this bed and see these people having about the worst day that they've ever had in their lives. And when I walk up, they look at me and they want me to say something or to do something. Now, the strangeness around this story is that I didn't know the people just because of the situation. For those of you that have been in situations like this, you probably are in it with people that you love dearly. You're the husband or you're the son in this case. But that is a very, very challenging situation to step into, and that all of us as Christians at one time or another have been or will be called to step into. And it is hard to know what to say. Now, the comforting thing about a situation like this, for a pastor or for a layperson like you, is that thankfully, there's not really anything that we have to give. When I stepped by that bedside, and if I ever am blessed to step by your bedside, I can't give you anything that Adam Matheny has, except that which I've been given already. I'm just a messenger. I'm just an errand boy. But one of the things, there's many things that I can give you in a situation like that, but one of the things that I might give to you could be this passage that we had in the prophecy from Isaiah this morning. Okay, so just listen to this piece of it. Say to those who have an anxious heart, sound like somebody in the ICU maybe, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. What a beautiful passage. What a beautiful picture that is. A person who's never been able to speak singing for joy. Your God will come with recompense and he will save you. But if any of you have been in that situation, sitting around an ICU bed or any kind of hospital bed, frankly, you hear words like this, you hear promises like this from God, and you think, okay, that's a nice promise about the future. But what am I supposed to do today? What am I supposed to do right now, Pastor? Because my loved one's in a hospital bed. And that challenge is not to be underestimated. The scriptures are full of promises about what the future will bring, what the future will be like, how God will form a perfect new kingdom for all of us to live in and to inhabit. A place where the mute people will sing, where the lame will walk, where the lion will lay down with the lamb, all sorts of things like that that you guys are familiar with. Where the dead will be raised, never to die again? That sounds like a great place, but it also doesn't sound like the place where we live right now. But you may have noticed that Jesus sort of references this prophecy that I just read to you in the gospel lesson this morning. Okay, so just to sort of set this up a little bit, John the Baptist, right? That great prophet whose sole purpose was to prepare the way of the Lord, to baptize the people of Israel into repentance so that they're prepared to receive the forgiveness of sins in Christ. The one who himself proclaimed that he was not worthy to carry even the shoes of his Lord. In today's gospel, has been put in prison. Kind of like the ICU. And so locked away in King Herod's cell, St. John the Baptist, even St. John the Baptist, doubts. And he wonders, did I just do this whole ministry thing? Did I just eat locusts and honey and wear camel's hair for nothing? Is it true that that Jesus guy is really the one that I was supposed to proclaim? And so he sends his messengers, some of his disciples, to Jesus to say, are you really the one, or should we be looking for somebody else? And Jesus, you may have noticed, doesn't directly answer the question. Instead, what he says is, open your eyes and look around. Here's what I want you to do, messengers from St. John the Baptist. Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have good news preached to them. And in fact, he's saying, messengers from St. John, I want you to look around and tell me if this looks like the kingdom of God to you. And you go back and tell John what you see and what you hear. You know, we think oftentimes that Jesus does miracles to prove that he's God, right? Like people are standing around scoffing and he says, well, just watch what I can do. Bang. But recognize what he's saying here. Isaiah has foretold centuries before about what the kingdom of God will look like when it comes. And it just so happens that when Jesus shows up, that's what happens around him. Those promises about a future time are fulfilled in the present around the person of Jesus. What's happening is the future is invading the present, and the kingdom of God is manifested just by his existence. And these promises made so long before are fulfilled in the person and the work of our Lord Christ. So that he can even say, hey, when the kingdom of God comes, the dead will be raised. So Lazarus, come out. And the kingdom of God is there. He says so himself when he starts his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That kingdom so long anticipated is here in me. And so there's no question that our Lord promises that that kingdom will be manifest when he comes again. Those things were shown temporarily because they couldn't be contained when Jesus walked the earth. And he promises us now and still that when he returns, he will inaugurate this kingdom fully and completely. So there will be no more deafness. There will be no more lameness. There will be no more muteness. There will be no more crying or tears or ICU, and there will be no more death. But you saw what I just did. I told you about the present reality of these future promises in our Lord when he walked the earth, and then I slipped back into that future tense again. These things will be one day. Because we are still faced with the trouble that these promises don't look like the world that we live in. But brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. Because our Lord doesn't just leave us only with future promises. Because his future promises are his presence. Our Lord has told us, has proclaimed to us, that by faith, by trusting his word, we know that he is here with us. And the kingdom of God is here with us even today. We trust these future promises, that by faith, when God's word is preached to us, when God's word is read to us, when our sins are absolved, when we take the body and blood, the real body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ onto our tongues, that our Lord is here with us now. And though we wait for the complete fulfillment of all these future promises that we long for and hold on to and hope for, we know by faith that Jesus, the bringer of God's kingdom, is here with us in our midst. So, if I have to come, sorry, scratch that. If I get to come to your hospital bed, whether it's in the ICU or wherever else, that's the sort of thing that I will bring to you, that we can hold and celebrate and rejoice in together. That our Lord is here now, and yet we long for and anticipate the fulfillment of all those future promises whenever he comes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-2183. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.